If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
When Ryan's, when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Raw with John Pollock and waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Raw. From Monday night, download it Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Raw. From Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade take the mic.
John Pollock and Wei Ting here to review Raw from Minneapolis, Minnesota, after a marathon news segment where we talked about Linda McMahon filing a motion to try and rid herself of any association with the Thring Boy lawsuit. Plenty to read from Brandon Thurston up on the Post Wrestling site. Kevin Owens speaking at length with Robbie Fox about his neck injury. And Wei and I having quite the discussion about the Tiffany Stratton, Charlotte Flair segment from Friday. This is going to be viewed like the Zapruder film.
Until their next very controversial segment, I suppose. Yeah.
And plenty of weekend highlights from Sakura Genesis, their announcements of the Best of the Super Juniors participants, G1 dates, Battle Riot 7 going down in LA over the weekend, and SmackDown ratings as well. All of that can be found on the XL version of Rewind to Raw. $6 gets you 30 days access at postwrestlingcafe.com. Sign up today, and that will cover you for all of our WrestleMania week coverage, which will be kicking off next week, and we're going to be doing daily shows. I'm going to be joined by John Cena. Kate from Montreal will be stopping by. Brandon Davey will be doing a day as well, and we're going to have you covered wall-to-wall with all of the events happening, including going live both WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday night immediately afterward. Way, by the way, is the main event of night two this year.
Oh, I'm ducking out, and I'm just coming in to get all the credit at the end of the night. Yes.
Yes. That is going to be that's my favor I asked of Way. So that is all coming up next week at postwrestling.com and postwrestlingcafe.com. We have the whole schedule up on the site. Way and I will be doing the Ask Away mailbag show on Tuesday. And I want to thank everyone for sending in your questions. You do not have to send any more in. I do not think we will get through all of these questions. You guys have been great. I actually skimmed through some of them. There's some great questions in the mailbag. So that's going to be coming out Tuesday on the cafe. I hope you're ready, Way.
I was afraid we didn't have enough questions as of like Friday. So I sent out the call, and I really should not have, because this might be the longest Ask Away ever if we end up. We might have to cap it at a certain time.
Well, if you have sent in a question and we somehow do not have time to get to it, we'll just forward it over to next month. So your question will be answered. We're going to do our best to filter through all of the questions that you sent in. But now it is time to get into Raw from the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. WrestleTix reporting almost 8,300 tickets distributed. Apparently, they did not sell out the Target Center, but they got plenty of comedians to show up to fill in those seats.
Oh, I fully expect by the end of the year, anybody who's ever had a Netflix special will probably show up on Raw.
It's like you could have any kind of attachment to Netflix. You'll get an on-cam shout out on WWE programming, if not doing commentary or segments with Otis. But we'll get into that later. Adam Pearce kicks off the show in the ring to bring out Io Sky, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley. He says he was wrong to have put Belair as the special referee and expecting you three to act like professionals. So after all this time and all of her fighting to get into this match, Adam Pearce just throws up his hands and says, it's a triple threat match. It's going to happen. Now, sign this. So, for our first, we're getting our second contract signing for this program. Not a valid contract that Rhea signed a few weeks ago when she sabotage the contract signing. So it is the triple threat. Bianca admits, I would have been upset a few weeks ago after doing all the work, winning Elimination Chamber, but then Ripley got into our business. I'm not scared of her. I don't even care anymore. And I still won the chamber after watching my best friends come to blows. And she tells Rhea to shut up, stop whining as she tries to speak. And Rhea and Bianca get into it. Once again, Io gets pie-faced and she's had enough. So she springboard missile drop kicks Rhea right into Bel Air, and the crowd leaves chanting for Io, and she will not be the afterthought. So after all that time, it's done. It's a three-way match for the title.
I would say, it's been a pretty predictable build, which isn't always a bad thing. But in this case, it really did feel to me like they were just dragging this one out because we had many, many weeks to go before WrestleMania. That said, these have like consistently received very strong reactions in front of a live audience because the star power is very strong. There's three of the top wrestlers in the entire company. I think they've done, in this particular segment, it felt like they were directing our attention towards Bianca as a heel, if that wasn't necessarily obviously enough, at least compared to the other two. Maybe for me, I've been most impressed in how they've been able to make Io feel like a relevant part in all of this. And if you just kind of rewind back to like January, it was really looking like she was going to be left out from a prominent position at WrestleMania. Now we head towards WrestleMania where she, despite not saying too many things on the microphone, is made to feel like a focal point of this feud. So I think they've done a good job there. I would say by the end, it does feel worthy of a main level world title match for WrestleMania, but that's mainly because the talent is so strong here.
Yeah, there's a lesson here is that if you want to get into a title match at WrestleMania, just keep getting involved in their segments. They can't deny you after 6 weeks. They'll just insert you to alleviate the nuisance that you have become.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's another instance of perhaps the Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber kind of being discredited. But it's pro wrestling. And you can't tell me that in MMA, like in the UFC, you know, like this sort of like shit talking doesn't get you your big main events too.
Oh, this is how, Matt Hughes had to defend the title against both George and Matt Serra together.
Of course,
That's how it happens. So we get a triple threat for the women's title, and announced going into tonight's show is the official announcement of the four-way match for the Intercontinental title with Bron Breakker, Penta, Finn Balor, and Dominic Mysterio, as we had expected.
Yeah. So they didn't even bother with like contract signings and people stealing contracts or anything. They're just like, yeah, it's a four-way.
Everyone wants a match. Everyone's got it.
Yeah.
Judgment Day is in the clubhouse, and Balor doesn't understand why both him and Dominic are in the match and didn't even know Dominic wanted a title shot as well, with Liv revealing she got him into the match and stating that it now doubles our chances of winning. And it doesn't matter who wins. Balor agrees with this and then notes the classic, people say that Dominic doesn't have what it takes to win at WrestleMania and isn't tough enough, no killer instinct, and is a loser. But you can prove them all wrong tonight, Dominic, by beating Penta all by yourself. And he walks off, but Carlito mentions that he's got his back while also mentioning the Mall of America.
Minnesota's finest landmark, perhaps.
Yes, that once housed Brian Pillman and Jushin Liger.
Mm. And Ricky Starks / Saints.
Yes.
Coming
exactly.
Down an escalator. Yeah. The sort of like the only real story we have heading into this like intercontinental four way is really between these two, Dominic and Finn Balor, and the tension that they've been kind of trying to tease between the two that might come to a head at WrestleMania. Maybe we'll finally get that new member of the Judgment Day. Maybe we'll get an actual split between the two. But it's really these two in a program and two really cool baby faces in Penta and Bron Breakker along with them.
Our first match of the show is Lyra Valkyria defending the women's intercontinental title against Bayley, with the backstory that Bayley had beat Valkyria in the qualifier for the Elimination Chamber and has been Valkyria's only loss since winning the title. So early on, Bayley goes for her sunset bomb into the corner. She literally had no room to throw her, and Lyra counters anyway with a roll-up of her own. And then Lyra ties up the legs and applies the PTO, the Page Tap Out, onto Bayley. And I don't think anyone in the crowd or on commentary made this connection. There was no big pop for this, but I found it an interesting move for Lyra to use.
Hmm. Okay, interesting.
Could have just been thrown out there. I mean, if you take what Soraya said, Soraya is all but saying, please sign me, WWE. I'm 100% coming.
And what was this, Lyra? Saying, yes, sign her.
Listen, if I was advising Lyra, I'd be encouraging her to shoot her own angles for anything coming up.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. There's many lessons to be learned. So Bayley hits a baseball slide under the turnbuckle, then misses Lyra on the suicide dive, and Lyra leaps through into a Bayley to belly. Both end up breaking the count. Michael Cole calls this an electric crowd, which it was not sounding electric when he decided to use this description. And then Cole kept up the momentum because Lyra goes for a very clear-cut gut-wrench powerbomb, and Michael Cole is trying to call this like it's the Nightwing, which it looks nothing like, and just say, oh, he didn't get all of that Nightwing. I was like, she hit a perfectly fine-looking gut-wrench powerbomb, which is not the Nightwing. So anyway, we continue. Bayley lands with a big knee and then applies a Boston Crab, drags her to the center and turns it into the Lion Tamer version, and then releases it, going for the rose plant, but Lyra evades and catches her with the jackknife cover in 13 minutes and 24 seconds, and Lyra puts her hand out, and Bayley looks at the hand, and her inner Dax Harwood just knocks the hand away. I will not shake your goddamn hand. And then Bayley realizes, you know what? I got a team with this person on Friday. She comes back and embraces her, gives her a big hug. And that was the end here. A good match that these two had.
She was thinking, man, it wasn't that long ago that I turned babyface. I can't turn back into a heel just yet. I better hug this person.
I need a Mania spot, and teaming with her is my only shot at being booked on this show.
Yeah. I thought a good match, and one that I think earned this crowd's respect by the end. They seemed mm-hmm. captivated. This was the type of match that I think was designed to help establish Lyra as a working person's champion, and the IC championship as a working person's championship. It quite honestly might be the only thing she has going for her, and maybe the reason why they gave her the belt in the first place, because as a character, as a personality, they've done zero to really kind of flesh her out as a, you know, dynamic and interesting personality. I'm happy if this is the direction for her. Like, this seemed to connect with the crowd by giving her time to tell a story in ring, and by giving somebody she has great chemistry with in a Bayley just the canvas to really perform and let that wrestling shine. So I thought that was successful here.
Yeah, and again, they're in the gauntlet on Friday. I would be stunned if they're not part of this tag title match, if they don't just win it outright, or you somehow get to multiple teams being just thrown into that match. But now it is time to go backstage, where Kathy Kelly is on Bert Kreischer duty, and he is interrupted after plugging his comedy special, is interrupted by American Maid, and they state how Bert gets to watch the Creeds face the LWO alongside El Grande Americano, but Bert Kreischer breaks the news that he did not come to see them. Instead, he's here for the Alpha Academy, who walk in, so Otis and Bert Kreischer get to rip their shirts off together. What a match made in heaven.
Yeah, apparently Kreischer is known for ripping his shirts, is that it?
That's an understatement, yes.
He's a shirt ripper.
Yes, this is his
He name. Invented shirt ripping.
Pretty much. Oh, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Pat McAfee is going to be broadcasting from the world on April 17th and 21st, which will be airing on ESPN. Jackie Redmond speaks with eight.
The world?
The world, their merchandise store.
Oh, not the Times Square restaurant that the WWE used to run?
No, not the one that was an expensive write-off for them when they finally closed that down. Jackie Redmond interviews AJ. He's going to embarrass Logan Paul at WrestleMania. That would be tough to do. Karrion Kross comes in. He wants to help get the old AJ Styles back because we can't lose to Logan Paul. So AJ doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. So he challenges him to a match for next week. So Karrion Kross will face AJ Styles in his second WWE match of the year.
Is that so? Wow.
Yeah. This guy's wrestled between the Chris Bay benefit show. That has equaled his WWE matches this year, which was an Akira Tozawa match on Main Event. He's had a thriving 2024, 25.
He's soon to equal his non-WWE career will equal his WWE career come WrestleMania.
Yes. But hey, he has managed TV time in the post Final Testament era.
Well, you could argue he has a bigger presence now than he did even during that period with the whole faction. I'm actually mildly interested to see what Karrion Kross has up his sleeve here with AJ. What does he mean? The old AJ Styles. Why does he need AJ Styles to win so badly? What does he have planned for AJ?
Maybe Kross is going to come out to his TNA theme.
Yeah.
He'll cut his hair. It's like only one of us can have this this unique flowing lock. I mean, these two could be brothers. Could they not?
I think Karrion Kross should come out dressed as TNA era AJ Styles with the AJ Styles get ready to fly.
That would be wonderful. I would love to see it.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's WrestleMania month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, and we are going to have wall-to-wall coverage of the events from Las Vegas beginning Thursday, April 17th. We're going to be doing daily shows on the Post Wrestling Cafe featuring myself, John Cena, and many more of the Post Wrestling staff. Plus, this month, it is two editions of Rewind Away as we cover SummerSlam 1997 and a retrospective of Jumbo Tsuruta. All that, plus coverage of New Japan's Sakura Genesis, Windy City Riot, Collision Course, and of course, Daredevil Born Again on MCU later. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door. Dragon Lee, Joaquin Wilde, and Cruz del Toro against the Creeds and El Grande Americano, who he came out. And Alicia Taylor did not bill him from the Gulf of America. However, Gulf of America was brought up by Colin McAfee. So,
had she been doing that?
I don't know, but I mean, we only had the one other match. But right. I was curious if they were going to make a big deal about that aspect. And
that it was Cole saying it suggests that there certainly is no company edict to tell him not to.
Yeah. And they're doing the story that Ray is calling this out for being disrespectful and offensive. Like that's the story. He is standing up for Mexicans. So this turned into a really great match. It was like one of the few chances, like especially Wilde and Del Toro, and to a degree, Dragon Lee had a chance to come out and actually have some time here. And they had some great opponents as well in Gable and the Creeds. So after the we get the LWO hitting triple dives to the floor, and then American Made come back with three simultaneous superplexes. We come back, and then Del Toro hits a somersault splash off the top to Brutus. Then he's in with Gable. Lee and Del Toro go for this doomsday, and Gable catches them with like the fall away moonsault in midair onto Del Toro, which looked incredible. The announcers, I don't think Cole even knew who took the brunt of this, but it was a great looking spot. Lee hits his Liger bomb, and Gable takes it, and Julius breaks it with a shooting star press. And then with Del Toro and Julius on all fours, Wilde goes off one back, off the other back, and then does a dive onto Brutus on the floor, which looked incredible.
It looked like Julius was giving him a boost. So, like, I mean, the camera didn't fully catch it, but it seemed like the crowd was reacting to Wilde getting crazy air, similar to, you know, that catapult spot that he has.
Yeah, instead of bouncing off the rope, he bounced off a man's back.
Yeah, very innovative.
Hell of a base here was Julius. So there's a tornillo by Del Toro to the floor. And then with the referee distracted, Ivy Nile hands Gable a foreign object to place into his mask. Like, what an old school gimmick here, the loaded mask. He headbutts Ray on the apron and then headbutts Dragon Lee and wins with a flying headbutt in 10 minutes and 28 seconds. But I thought like a great like trios contest here. And we can just fast forward and we get Ray calling out El Grande Americano for WrestleMania. So you will get Ray and Chad Gable, which they get like 12, 13 minutes That should be a hell of a match on the undercard of one of the nights.
It honestly surprises me a little because I feel like this, you know, American Alpha, they've kind of largely been relegated to like a raw act, right? Like they're the type of act that kind of fleshes out like a 3-hour show versus getting that prime spot on pay-per-view. So the fact that those two in a Ray singles match, I think, you know, makes a bit more sense. But the fact that Chad Gable is getting a singles match against Rey Mysterio on a pay-per-view, I think is awesome. I think those two are probably going to bring their best. And they've really landed on a character that I think is connecting with people, you know, like maybe connecting too much in some ways, you know, with some of the material. But nonetheless, it's a heel act that I think people could take seriously. And certainly with Rey Mysterio, it becomes a far more juicier story.
Is Rey going to be Captain America for his WrestleMania attire? Or is there a Mexican superhero he can be?
Is there a Mexican superhero? Nothing off the top of my head.
Maybe he'll go as El Santo. They did mention El Santo in this match. They come out all in white.
Yeah. Yeah, like Namor in the MCU is sort of billed as from like of like Aztec ancestry, I believe. So that might be the closest.
Maybe Steve from Minecraft.
Is he a Mexican superhero, Steve? Did you watch it? Did you
stick around on the XL version? We're going to chat a little Japanese Grand Prix and a little Minecraft.
You were one of the billions and billions of people that paid a ticket to watch Minecraft this weekend.
It was insane. I'll talk about it later. Okay. Anyway, really enjoyable match. I like this quite a bit. Then there was a recap of the beatdown of Jimmy Uso. Pretty well done video here. Like very like this. For all we want to say about last week, it was like, was this like the extent of like this really violent beatdown to keep him out for weeks? This video package, you watched it, you would think like this man was read his last rites last week. Like they did a really great job. And then Gunther, who again, like routinely is just one of the most enjoyable parts of Raw every week. He is grinning ear to ear as he comes out, proclaims himself champion, holding it out proudly on the desk. And then Jey Uso, he comes through the crowd, but the man is stoic. Like there is no yeeting. It's just business as he comes out. And he stands up to Gunther and he knocks the microphone out of Gunther's hand. And Gunther is just smiling, like just so obnoxious. And Jey, who's just got like such a quiet demeanor to him, just says, Gunther, you have a mother? You talk to your mom? What do you talk to your mom about? Family stuff? Well, I have a mother too. And this week, you know what I had to talk to her about? How her oldest son is laid up in a hospital. Laid up with 15 stitches in his forehead. And my mom asked me, why didn't you protect him, Joshua? And I said, Mom, we shooting now? We're using shoot names? And first of all, I'd be like, Mom, did you not watch the segment? I was fucking zip-tied to the ropes. What in God's name did you expect me to do? But Jey says, I've never lied, and I'm not going to now. I didn't do anything because I was afraid of you. Gunther, you had me. You had me right in your grasp. You were playing chess. I was playing checkers. But instead, you got my family involved. You wiped my brother's blood all over your body. And now you've put his blood on my hands, too. You violated my twin in front of me. But in that moment, a light bulb went off. And I'm not afraid anymore. Now, and the night before WrestleMania, I'm going to say a prayer for you, Gunther. And for myself, asking the Lord to forgive me for the man I'm about to become. Because I'm going to get you for Jimmy, for my family, and I'm going to take your championship. And dude, Gunther, who was just, this was the best non-speaking segment in quite some time. Because Gunther was amazing. Jey was on another level. Tremendous. Like we've had back-to-back excellent segments for the lead up to this. And it's like this program has kind of gone, it was red hot after the Rumble with Jey winning, and it had the A-Town down detour for several weeks. They're wrapping this one up strong where this feels like a big match for Mania. I thought the segment was tremendous.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of time between the two, and I think it's clear that they were saving.
It was just way too long. Like you,
they were saving the best material for these past few weeks and for these next few weeks, and hopefully, they will finish even stronger with the time that's left over. I agree with you. To me, that was one of the things that stood out about this. Without even saying a word, I thought Gunther sold the worry on his face really well at the end of this promo.
It was so effective.
He was directed to look like he was there to actually take Jay's word about murdering him seriously. He's and like, he just gave
he's invoked both his mother and Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he just gave a perfect look. I thought Jay, you know, he could have come in here after like seeing his brother beat down, being face to face with Gunther inside a ring. I think maybe a conventional way of booking a reaction to that would be for Jay to just like lay hands on Gunther, and he did not do that at all. Did not even think about throwing a punch. Instead, he didn't even shout. He delivered like a very intense response that because he was so quiet to start off with, it felt even more intense because I thought every line was done really excellently, made you really believe that he was going to murder this guy at the right opportunity. Like, he's not just reacting on emotion, he is plotting this man's death down to the minute details of how he's going to maybe slice his neck open. So I was very impressed by Jay here. I was even more impressed at the fact that like Jay was cutting this promo and recognizing that he was about to cut a serious promo. He told the crowd to stop eating, and we know how like, you know, pointless that is from the what chance. Once the crowd gets in their what pacing, it's impossible to turn them off. But Jay, I think being so loved by the crowd, he just simply waved them off, and they just managed to slowly quiet down. So he was able to orchestrate the stopping of his own what eat chant masterfully. I did find it interesting, though, how despite the fact that he did not intend for this promo to be a yeet style promo, he still cut it in the sort of
pattern. That's his rhythm now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's something he can actively turn off, or if it's just kind of the natural way he perhaps speaks now. It just kind of invites, like, you want to chant yeet along to pretty much everything he says.
It reminded me of when, like, it was about 20 years ago exactly, that they were getting Cena out of the freestyles, and like, it took the audience a while to just accept him talking normally, because you're just so ingrained. And in time, like now, like within a year or two, like you wouldn't even have, like he really did distance himself quite a bit from the freestyle character. But it was like they were very smart to understand when they needed to get away from that. But yeah, it's like he's sort of found his voice in a promo and had to go outside of that range for this one.
Yeah, on the one hand, I mean, there might be worry that is it a crutch for Jay? I mean, it's a great crutch. You know, it's one that engages the audience. It allows him to sound unique. There's nothing wrong with it whatsoever.
But he doesn't need it.
But will there come a time where he might be called upon to cut a more dynamic promo that does not require, you know, the crowd support?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, there's some people who like fall into the what trap because like just they're like they just leave the beats for it for the audience, like the openings. And it's like you almost had to like rewire your promos to avoid those for a long time. But this was, I thought, a really strong segment. And to the point that like I don't even know what you do for like the go home week next week. Like this one felt like a really solid segment. Just
next week's the go home. You're right. Yeah. So they just have one more week.
Yeah,
I mean, it might be at the point now where it's just like, you know, give us the music video, right? It might be a music video week like we had with Cody. Yeah.
There's a great video to be done on like the journey of Jey Uso from 2010.
When is Dad going to make his appearance? Okay, come on.
Probably never. But yes, so that's next week. And I think a pretty decent shot will get blood in this one, too.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
We had a recap of the closing angle in CM Punk's favor, and then Natalya and Maxine are in conversation with Pierce ahead of their gauntlet match, and this is when Ray comes in. He wants the match with not Gable. He wants it with El Grande Americano at WrestleMania, and just like that, Pierce is like, yep, you got it. And then we go to ringside, and joining Michael Cole and Pat McAfee is Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yeah, where was he to call the LWO match?
He missed that one.
Yeah.
But boy, he certainly didn't miss like a Jerry Lawler joke from 30 years ago that the first match that Michael Cole ever called was David versus Goliath. Yes. Hope the roast is going to be a lot better than this one.
Yeah, this seemed to be, well, obviously a way to promote the roast, and I'm curious
by doing
to
like
know,
the most G-rated material.
I'm very curious to know how many extra tickets he may have sold with this appearance.
Well,
support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
The War Raiders and New Day is the match that Tony Hinchcliffe gets a call, and it's the anniversary of Kofi Mania. So Kofi put out a photo today, the famous photo, where they have now photoshopped Big E out of the picture of him.
Is that
being,
right?
Oh, yeah. It's like it's Kofi holding him up all by himself, like on one half, and they photoshopped Big E out. And,
oh, that's hilarious.
It was pretty great. So they're stomping on Eric, doing the unicorn stomp, and then Ivar is in there as Hinchcliffe refers to Ivar and Eric as the Burt Kreischer fan club. And Eric slams Ivar on top. They hit the war machine onto Kofi, but Woods dives in for the save. And then Woods goes to the floor, grabbing a chair. Ivar wrestles the chair away, nailing Woods. And the DQ is called at 9:27. And Hinchcliffe says that New Day can't win the belts. And Cole corrects him and says their titles. And Kingston just wallops Ivar from behind with the hardest chair shot you can imagine to the back. And he states that he was going for the bad neck. They go to attack Eric and put him onto the chair when all the officials run out. But Ivar and Eric are left laying, and you certainly got the impression that this is going to be forced into the Mania card coming out of this.
Yeah, I guess it could be Mania. Honestly, it just, I mean, the New Day are...
Maybe this is the night after.
Like,
match.
It really does feel more to me like it's one of the TVs, you know, wrapping around WrestleMania rather than, like, the Raw after Mania is where I would assume, rather than Mania itself. It just does not feel hot enough.
We're starting to get pretty heavy on these, the match totals, which,
it's mainly, again, like, the Viking Raiders and really the division as a whole that just does not feel that hot. Like, the New Day are, I would consider a pretty hot act after Big E, but there's just not the right opponent for them to really kind of necessitate a Mania stage, in my opinion. I thought the match was a very flat finish and just kind of a way to get to a future match. I'd like to see the feud, even if it is for the Raw after Mania, I'd like to see this feud get a bit more personal. You know, like, where are the New Day sort of personal attacks making fun of the Viking Raiders and Viking Raiders perhaps coming back with some of their own material, however they choose to. Where's their photoshopping?
Yeah. I hated this because the finish and placement was confirmation that I chose the wrong graphic this week. So I was a little down on myself on that.
I thought Tony Hinchcliffe was like awful on commentary. Like, I mean,
he's a legit fan too. And he just felt like so out of his element. And it's like, he wasn't even being Tony Hinchcliffe here. It was like, they were being so safe. It's like, what are you selling here? Like, you're,
yeah, if you wanted to see a roast of Michael Cole, I guess, like a G-rated roast of Michael Cole, maybe get your tickets.
It was the lamest, just old jokes that were just, I mean, yeah, not the material that you are going to be getting at the roast, to say the least. It was music video week for Cody Rhodes with Shibuzi, and then Burt Kreischer chugged a beer. I was done with the comedians by this point. Penta and Dominic, we had... Penta going for a Rana tilt-a-whirl backbreaker and then a sling blade, and then hits a high cross both to Dom and Carlito on the floor. We come back. Dominic had gotten the advantage briefly, hits the Three Amigos. 619 gets stopped with a super kick when Dominic busts out the Mexican Destroyer, hits the 619, and then Penta gets the knees up for the frog splash, and after an arm wringer, snaps the arm with the sacrifice and wins with the Penta driver in 8:17. But this is our showcase for the four-way. So Carlito attacks Penta from behind, hits him with the backstabber, and Braun Breaker arrives, and they have the overhead shot of Braun just hitting max speed down the aisle. And if ever there was a man I feared for, it was Carlito, who had to stand in front of this subway running at him to get speared at full force. Carlito goes down. Then he spears Dom in the ring. And then he spears Penta before Balor shows up and leaves Braun laying, holds up the belt, or the title, as Cole would call it. Good post-match, I thought, especially here. This spear was incredible that Braun hit Carlito with.
Yeah. Again, this is a match that is kind of being sold on, you know, what might be like a soon-to-break-up Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio. And just, it's also being sold on how awesome Penta and Braun Breaker are, and they've not cooled either of them down at all, you know, throughout these past few months. Like, for IC title program, they have two very, very strong baby faces heading into it. So, yeah.
So next week, in addition to AJ and Karrion Kross, Roman Reigns will be on the show, and that's all they've announced for next week in Sacramento. More so just interesting, they are not advertising John Cena, at least as of now, for any of the TVs before WrestleMania. So might not see him until Vegas. American Made return. This was during a commercial break, which people probably didn't see. Gable came out with American Made apologizing for not wrestling and then healed on Minneapolis. Paul Heyman is in the ring for the final segment, and he states he will always be loyal to Roman Reigns and will always be loyal to his best friend, CM Punk. He goes to talk more, but Seth Rollins comes out, and Rollins asks whose side is Paul on, because you can't be loyal to both of them at the same time, and explains that Reigns doesn't give a damn about you, Paul. He uses you, and he doesn't respect you. And he goes back to Mania last year. Reigns lost the title, and then he disappeared for months, and he didn't take you with him. Instead, he left you with Solo Sikoa and the Bloodline. And how did they treat you? Reigns never came to save you. He left you to be massacred in your hometown in front of your two children. And Punk wasn't there for you either. Punk walked out of this place 10 years ago and left you too, and then tried to tear down everything you were building here, Paul. He says that Punk was not the first choice to team with them at War Games. I was the first choice. Punk was the last choice, and he only did it so that he could get a favor out of you. Punk only loves himself, and he feels bad for Heyman because he's caught between a rock and a hard place, and the easiest solution would be to remove Heyman so he doesn't have to make this choice. And Rollins could make him go away, and states it's all for your own good. And we can find out how much Punk really does care for you. And he starts pushing around Paul Heyman, asking if he's worth this much or this much. And Heyman finally snaps, warning him not to put his hands on him. When Punk finally runs down with minutes to go, attacking Seth, they brawl around the ring. And Punk teases a stomp onto Seth on the steps. But Rollins rolls into the ring. Punk follows, leaving him open for a stomp as Rollins hits it. And as Heyman is checking on him, Rollins leaps in the air. You think he's going to stomp Heyman, but instead he just puts the foot down next to Paul and tells him, now you owe me a favor. And that's how it ended. I thought Seth was really great in this segment at the end. And they're definitely giving you the tease of these two being in a grand plan for the two of them. We'll see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Friday's segment was very much between Roman and Punk, with Rollins almost feeling like the odd man out, you know, like, why did you show up here, you know, other than to laugh, which I think he did a great job of. But tonight really did put, I think, more of the sort of motivational spotlight behind him. And he delivered, I think, one of the best performances I've seen from him in a long time. And if it wasn't obvious enough already, he definitely made it clear that he's the heel of the three here, the person that we should all be booing. And it was maybe some of the most heelish stuff we've seen from this incarnation of Seth Rollins. It wasn't was he the guy who took eyeballs out? Was he the eyeball guy? Yeah, it wasn't taking a man's eyeball out, but it was like, you know, that slapping of Paul Heyman and prodding him like that was like pretty awesome, actually. So I love the way he was doing that. He was very, very menacing here. And now you owe me a favor is certainly suggestive. So they're playing with perhaps many people's expectations that Heyman could end up with him by the end of the main event.
Yes. WrestleMania favor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was Raw. I thought overall, like some really strong segments going into WrestleMania on this show. And wrestling wise, I thought like the women had a very nice match. I thought the six man was a lot of fun that you had in there. And well, I can't say too much about the War Raiders and New Day. And you got Tony Hinchcliffe, so it kind of balanced itself out.
I thought it was an all right, you know, Raw, like not something that I feel like, wow, like there wasn't really any one segment that made me feel that way. I thought a lot of it was just kind of like, it was good, nothing bad, but like just kind of there, just kind of good.
What if it had gone a couple more hours?
Well, then I'd be calling it one of the best of all time. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have one more Raw to go before WrestleMania, and here's our updated lineup. We have 11 matches official so far, with Reigns, Punk, and Seth as one main event, Cody and Cena the other main event. And then rounding out the card, we have Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair, which might be a WWE Underground match by the end of it. Gunther and Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight title. Io Sky, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley is now official. AJ Styles against Logan Paul. LA Knight against Jacob Fatu for the United States title. Liv Morgan and Raquel defending against the Gauntlet winners. Jade Cargill against Naomi. Braun Breaker, Penta, Finn Balor, and Dominic Mysterio for the Intercontinental title. And Rey Mysterio against El Grande Americano.
11 matches.
Yes.
So far.
Yeah. So I could certainly see New Day and War Raider. Like, you would figure that I could see this like around 7 matches each night. That could leave some spots open.
Could be that. Could be the SmackDown tag teams if we're going to include
another tag
team.
Yes, the SmackDown tag teams I think is in there. I think both sets of tag titles probably get in there.
You're expecting a total of, what is this now?
I could see 14.
13 matches, 14 matches, 7 matches per night?
Yeah.
That feels a lot to me for a Russell, like a WWE pay-per-view. And let me just look at last year's show. How many?
It's probably comparable.
You know, you're right. We did have 7 per night last year. So maybe that would be the number that they're aiming for again this year.
All right, everybody. There you go. We are going to sign off on YouTube, but we're going to keep going on the Post Wrestling Cafe. The XL edition contains all of your feedback and questions. We're going to talk about my trip to the movies this past weekend and the biggest story, Red Bull. It's still alive, okay? Max Verstappen, get those shoulders ready, because he's going to carry Red Bull for the, because God knows he doesn't have a number two driver for the rest of this season. He's carrying this thing. We will see how they did on Suzuka over the weekend. That is it for some of you. But hey, for the cool kids, we're just going to keep going.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL, and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.